Oh my God, we're back. It's almost like we did 11 other of these. Oh wait, we did.
So far.
This is Kung Fu Theater. My name's Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown. And this is the movie review Kung Fu Theater show that talks about those things. Number 12. Seems like we've done more of these.
It feels like we've done more of
them. I know. It's weird.
But only 12.
Only 12.
In a series.
It's rare. It's a rare collectible at this point.
Yeah, it is.
But don't worry. It won't be in about a year and a half when we have like 90 of them. So this week, man. Yeah, wow. Well. I chose.
Bolo.
I was upset with myself that we had gotten to the 12th show when we hadn't had Bolo yet. So I literally, to pick the movie this week, I typed in Bolo Young full movie. This one came up and I was like, done. Chinese Hercules.
Which Bolo isn't in the whole movie.
No, he is in with his tight shirt and tight pants looking huge, you know.
Yeah, but it's not really, it's kind of about Bolo, but not really. It isn't.
No, he's just a heavy.
And he's on the poster and he's like, arr, you know.
The guy's
like,
gigantic.
This is going to be like a Bolo marathon, and he is impressive and good in the movie, but it's mostly about the angsty. This is an angst-ridden Kung Fu movie. This guy's like the James Dean of Kung Fu.
Just like last week, one of the worst things ever is when you're there to see a fighter, and they're not fighting because of feelings. Stick it. You can take that and stick it. I don't need it. Just fight, you know. Because this movie starts out, boom. It starts perfectly. Chinese Hercules we're talking about. It literally starts, bang. The guy's in a dojo punching the hell out of something. Boom. Fight scene. You're like, hell yeah. Let's go. You know, this is straight on just fight, fight, fight. Then a guy pulls a knife and then it's super fight.
Then it's super fight scene.
And he kills him. And you're like, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Technically, sort of, he kills him. And then the guy gets all this angst written like, oh my God, I killed somebody once.
Oh, lighting.
And he like runs away and I'm going like, and his girlfriend is like, hey, come back, you know, he pulled a knife on you.
All you do is fight all day at the dojo. Is this a surprise you killed somebody that was trying to kill you anyway? Like, it's a little disjointed. Before we get too much into this movie, I did want to talk about Bolo a little bit. If you don't know the name Bolo Young, which you should, I'm sure you do, but Bolo Young is a Chinese like weightlifter, powerlifter. Like, he's a gigantic specimen. I'm sure he's 5'2" in real life, but he's huge. He is Arnold Schwarzenegger of that time, big. And he made a very great niche for himself by being huge. I'm sure he just roided out for a couple of years. Has a really good workout regimen. He's gigantic. But he also went the extra mile and did martial arts. Yeah. So he carved a niche for himself, instant bad guy.
He was different from everybody else. Everybody else was like a 120 pounds.
Soaking wet, 120 pounds.
And this guy's like muscle bound.
Monster. And he's a monster. And he's pretty, you can tell he's not a great actor, but he's a pretty good actor.
He has a screen presence.
Yeah.
And he was in Enter the Dragon. Yep.
His persona is on screen is just...
And he's always a bad guy, right?
Arrogant. He just walks in, he blows his nose on the mat. Like a lot of times where he does that, clearing his nostrils. And he just looks at people with disdain. And he's just like, all I do is want to kill people.
And he's always a bad guy.
Always a bad guy. I've never seen him as a good guy. I would have loved to. I'm sure there might be out there.
I think there is one or two.
He has a gigantic filmography. You know, it's like, we're talking hundreds. And... you know, there had to be somewhere he was a father or a loving teacher. Something like that. They always do that kind of stuff.
Or school got attacked and he had to seek revenge on the other school.
I've always, since seeing him, I saw him first in Bloodsport, and when I looked him up and I realized he was 55 when they did Bloodsport, my mind was blown.
Really,
I could not believe it because this guy looked like a 30-year-old. Adonis, in Bloodsport, and that's the kind of weight training he does. He is just big and healthy and unbelievable. I think he's still alive and still weightlifting.
He's still around, but he's not making movies anymore, is he?
I haven't seen any, but we should check that.
Hung still making movies?
No, he's dead.
He did? Oh.
I think he's long gone.
Because he did that TV show for a little while.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know that. So if that should ring a bell. If you're like, who the heck is Bolo Young that they keep talking about? Bolo Young. He's the gigantic guy, you know?
In the Kung Fu movie.
In the Kung Fu movie.
Hong Kong.
Often seen catching or throwing rocks. often. He has a very funny style of fighting because he's just a monster. He just grabs hold of people, you know. So, okay, I just want to get that out there, kind of talk a little about him a little bit. So now we'll go back to this movie, which is...
why don't we take a break? We've talked for a while. Let's take a break.
Okay, sure.
And then we'll come back and we'll go straight into the movie.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Bruce Lee was the king of Kung Fu. Angela Mayo, the martial arts queen. But neither could compare nor compete with Chinese Hercules. He's the superhuman beast of the East. Bone Cracker. Head Crusher. Back Snapper. Body Breaker. Men. Women. Old. Young. Hundreds. Or one alone. Each challenges and each becomes the pulverized prey of Chinese Hercules, the first and only muscle-mad monster of the martial art. Chinese Hercules, he'll get a crush on you.
Secret agent for Dragon. And half the world's out to kill it. Jim Kelly as the Black Samurai. No matter what the odds, they haven't got a chance against him. From Hong Kong to Haiti, come the men and women who play the dangerous game of voodoo and violence. Jennicott the Warlock.
It's better to reign in hell, sir, than heaven.
Toki, bait for the trap. Chavez, pain is his pleasure. Bone, the crusher. Sin, lovely to look at.
I like to think of you as my white knight. Come to my rescue.
Never the white knight, baby.
Murderous to know. They dance for him. They desire him. They die for him. Pines, which side is he really on? Black Samurai is coming your way. Jim Kelly, heading for action.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right. We're back. You hear the Chinese Hercules trailer. Sounded exciting.
Yeah.
After this first confrontation, our hero which I've seen in other kung fu movies. I think he's been around.
I can't think of his name, but he is a well-known martial artist.
Yeah, you know. So now he runs away, leaves his girlfriend, leaves the dead body, just takes off.
Yeah, basically he killed like a what was the deal? Okay, so he's fighting in the dojo. The girlfriend's like, "Hey, you know, you need to relax." And he's like, "No, I don't stop." And then as they're walking out, like the girl's brother and the gang starts hassling the guy for some reason. I can't remember why. Maybe
just like
just
street
jerks.
Toughs, I think. Yeah, I think they were just kind of
just
like,
to,
"Oh."
To say, and then okay, so then he ends up killing him. And then he like runs away and you're like, because I guess he thinks he's going to be accused of murder or something like
that. Or he just can't deal with the fact that he murdered somebody.
And then he goes out and the next thing, isn't the next scene where he's out on the beach?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, doing like the James Dean move. And then he gets like a rock and he starts busting his
hands. He smashes his hands so he can't fight anymore. And you're like.
As if, you know.
Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Why would you do that? And then smash cut, him getting off of a boat. Oh, you can work here at this dock.
Like a rice
unloading. Yeah, carrying rice. It's just unloading rice. And I'm like, didn't they invent the wheels? They show these guys running back and forth with these bags. I'm like, I'm pretty sure wheels were invented
And he wants to be the top guy because he's like, that's two bags of rice.
Well, and they get paid per bag.
Yeah.
Every bag they carry, they get this little stick that means money. So he's getting two at a time, and the guy says 200 pounds a bag. I'm like, yeah, right. This dude's carrying 400 pounds. I don't think so, but whatever.
Yeah,
Chinese mysticism. And he's not talking to anybody. He doesn't say his name. He doesn't say where he's been. He's just kind of like...
He's a loner.
He's a loner now because he's had such deep mixed emotions. Like you're saying, James Dean all day long.
And he's got like the jerk foreman who's like, you know, constantly harassing him. Some of the people there are like, hey, why don't you talk? What's your problem? You know, we're trying to be your friend and you're just like, keep to yourself. And he just like looks at him and he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely like, mentally challenged for what happened to him or whatever.
And a
dishonorable man, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, hey, I learned to be like, you know, this great martial artist in it, but it wasn't to kill people. It was just for self-defense. But the guy pulled a knife on him.
That's what I'm saying. If somebody pulls a weapon, that's when it's on, you know. So anyway, we get to this part where they're sitting there and they're eating and just sitting there. And these two street beggars or these very like street urchin poor people that don't, they're stealing a little bit of rice out of the back of the where they unloaded them. And they cut a little hole in it and they put rice in a sack.
To take home,
presumably to eat, because they can't eat. They're poor.
Yeah.
And this is where this movie takes a very hard left, and you're like, wait, what am I watching here? Because the boss goes, hey, we got you, and his henchmen kind of run out, and they start beating these two up. And
one's a girl, by the way.
One's a girl, and they are beating her.
Like. 8-9 guys is like throwing them.
They're
all
grabbing
over.
Her, grabbing her by her hair, and punching her face, and punching her stomach, and smashing her head on the ground. And they're smashing this guy, and she's getting like her face is all puffed up. And they just keep beating him, and then you're like, what the hell am I watching here? You know. And then the one guy comes out, and he's like, that's enough now. And then the gang runs over and beats the crap out of him.
No, he says to the guy, the foreman, he goes, how much does that bag cost? X amount of money. He goes, here, I'll give you the money.
No, this is the guy before that. Before our hero. Before our hero, one guy comes and says...
Well, wasn't another guy did it before the hero did it?
The heavier set guy is like, hey, that's enough. And then the boss runs over and punches him. He says, I'll tell you when it's enough. And then he goes, how much could this possibly be? And he's like, well, 200 pounds worth. And you're like... He just was like inflating.
That's a month rent.
Yeah, a month. Yeah, so he's like, "Oh, you're not going to pay now." And then our hero comes up with a big stack of money and says, "Here." So then, because he's trying to just stop this beating because they're going to kill these kids.
Right.
And these are they're trying to pretend they're kids, but they're just actors.
Right. Yeah.
So then the bad guys go, "Well, they steal every month. They steal everything that isn't tied down. You owe me." For $100 million, and like he starts doing this weird math where you're like, so what? He's gonna pay for all crime that's been throughout all time. Is that where your math is coming from? Because not adding up, dude. That's a bag of rice. So they're like, go beat him up, and then the henchmen start beating him, and they're like, oh, and go kill those kids too. And you're like, oh, you're like super evil.
Yeah,
you're the most evil thing in the world. You're like, okay.
So the guy gets the crap beat out of him. He doesn't fight back, which is really annoying.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's like, look, dude, you don't have to kill him, but you could just defend yourself. But it's just like, he's like some entitled freak that decides, I can never use my hands again. You know?
Like last week. You're like, oh, just stop. I didn't buy the ticket to see you not fight.
So not only does he get the crap beat out of him, but the kid and the woman guy, the kid and the boy got beat the crap. And then the other guy.
I think they got away again then.
They got away, but they still got the crap beat out of him.
I couldn't believe the beating they gave that girl.
I know.
I've never seen a beating that hard on like a little girl. Or you're like, the hell am I watching, man?
And then the big boss shows up and beats the guy again.
Just nonstop. This is nonstop oppression, and you're like, wow.
And you're like, wow, this whole movie is just like our heroes getting the crap beat out of them for no reason or whatever. So you're like, okay, so... Yeah. But you really get annoyed with our quote-unquote hero because he's such a dope.
Yeah, and he's just like that...
He hides in his little room and he... You know, I mean, I think the girl said it later in the movie. He goes, God, if you're so torn up about this, why didn't you just kill yourself? You know, she basically says it, which is the most reasonable line. If you're that, why are you being here and allowing all this to happen and not doing anything about it? Just kill yourself and get it over with.
Because after that fight, there's like one guy who's kind of in charge of the dock workers, or he's a good guy. He's like they're the good guy. He's like their leader, so to speak.
And he's got the same thing. He goes, "That guy's a good fighter." And how do you know? He goes, "Well, I killed a guy one time when
I've seen it. I've seen him. I know enough to know that he's."
And the guy said he even done it too.
Yeah. Later, he says that later when he actually fights the boss because he snaps and he's like, "That's too much now." So then now that's kind of like died down, and we go to the boss's house who owns the dock, and like the Chinese mafia is there, the triad, and they're like, "Oh, we want to own this dock for smuggling."
And they bring Bolo with them.
Yeah,
right?
And Bolo's just sitting there.
He's the muscle,
just
so to
sitting
speak.
There, you know. It's like, ah, we're going to use this for drugs or for special products, wink. And he's like, oh, yes, I've always wanted to be rich. And you're like, okay, so he gives him a suitcase of gold. He's like, yeah, now all you got to do is get rid of all those dock workers, and we're going to use this for drugs. And I'm like, this is not how any of this works.
I know.
The reason that you get away with it is because other things go through the docks and you hide it.
You hide the drugs in the rice or in the water.
But also, we're going to get to something that annoyed me the most of all this. Okay. So then that's where this movie is centered around. Now the thug who's now newly in the mob has to get dispatch of these dock workers.
And the whole town basically works at this dock.
That's all there is.
So they have to get rid of everybody. Yep. And so the guy who's in charge was in charge of the dock now has to tell his guys, you got to get rid of everybody.
Yeah,
and so you know either fight them or kill them or do whatever. And the ships aren't going to come in anymore. So everybody eventually will have to move out and go to another dock. And one guy even says, all the docks are like full. Full capacity.
This is and we've been here for generations. This is like the dock that goes here.
This is all
here.
We know.
You know? And so that this is where the movie actually is kind of starting. As far as now you have that. You have this group that's trying to survive and work for it. And then henchmen come and beat them up and knock down their restaurant and beat them and
beat
them.
Yeah, tear
down
buildings and stuff like that.
Once in a while, Bolo Young destroys somebody as a show of like, and everyone's like,
and what was funny was in a couple of the scenes when Bolo's fighting one of the guys, like the mob guy, like when Bolo's getting a bunch of hits, he does his little cigarette trick, what we'll talk about later, and then Bolo gets pissed off, why'd you do that, you don't have to do that.
The first one we're at that guy's house, the mob boss's house or the dock owner's house. And he's beating somebody up. I don't even remember who this was. I think this was just like somebody that spoke up for the dock workers.
Yeah. Some guy went in and he goes, oh, you know what? I'm going to fight my way. I'm going to speak. And he fought his way into the guy and he got the crap beat out of him.
And during this fight, the mob boss flicks a cigarette into the fighter's eye.
The guy's getting some good hits on Bolo. Yeah.
And Bolo basically, he beats this guy up. He turns to the guy and starts screaming, why'd you do that? How dare you interrupt my fight?
He does like a skull crusher thing, too. You hear like...
It's total WWE like kill move. Like he's like, oh my god. So he flips out and goes, I was fighting that guy. How dare you interrupt my fight? Then he gets so angry, he starts just rage killing this other guy laying on the ground, kicking him in his face. Like, because Bolo, at this point, I think they were trying to amp him up where he was kind of seen as insanity.
Pretty much,
nothing but rage and hate, you know. And so that's, now we got that going on. So now the dock workers are getting oppressed, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll finish out Chinese Hercules.
Chapter 3.
A.K.A. Dock Workers Strike Back.
A Quinn Martin production.
I don't think it was.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Make way for Corrado, the Hong Kong Cat. He's the king of Kung Fu Karate. He's quick as a cougar. Strong as a lion, fierce as a tiger, and he preys on man. He's coming to tear you apart. The Hong Kong Cat. Rated R. He's wild, man.
But that's for a different podcast. That's not for Kung Fu.
All right.
Which is what we're talking about, Kung Fu. Yes. So anyway,
on with the show.
Part 3 of Chinese Hercules. This guy is still doing nothing. In fact, he's doing less than nothing. He runs away every time something happens. And you're like, "Ugh." Then they carry the dead body back and they're like, "Oh, by the way, here's this dead guy." And then Bolo beats up a couple of people and says, "Now you have till noon tomorrow. You're still here. What happens?" And Bolo says, "Kill. I kill." Like, he only says a few words dead.
Yeah.
What happens when you do something, Bolo? I kill them. That's like his answer to everything, kind of. Which I would like to think that's what he is in real life. But I doubt But I doubt if he is. He's like, oh, what happens if I don't give Bolo his coffee in the morning? I kill them. That'd be great, but probably not.
Could happen.
Could.
But anyway, so the boss has to go and kick everybody finally out.
Yeah.
And then the foreman guy or whatever decides... You know, and a lot of these movies I've been noticing, even though the guy's like the big boss, he's like a heavy-duty karate guy, too.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
It's not like his henchmen always do the work for him. At the end, he's like, okay, fine, you guys can't do it. Well, I'll let a real man do it. Because
at the very end, after that guy kills Bolo, he starts fighting him. I'm like, no, stop.
Before that, they send this guy out to kill people. And then it turns out that, you know, the guy's like, are doing a good job against his henchmen, so he decides that he's gonna, you know, the head guy's gonna fight the other head guy of the
dock worker is like spokesperson.
Yeah,
that's where he gives his little exposition about, I used to fight, I was a good fighter, and I killed, and after I killed somebody, I said I never would again, but you, boss, have pushed it too far. Yeah, like, so instead of our hero doing this, you have an older guy, the dock worker's spokesperson, is mimicking the exact same thing. I used to not fight, but now you push me too far. I'm fighting, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, right,
just,
exactly.
And that's what the problem of this movie is. It's just a big, can we get to it, please?
Yes, please. Let's get to it. So anyway, the guy, like, I think is the scene, he beats the crap out of the big guy, breaks his leg, both legs.
It's a vicious. He breaks his arm. He pulls his like shoulder down out of his socket. Then he's walking away going, okay, this is enough. And the boss, the bad guy, runs
he's
over.
He's got like a knife.
He runs over and kicks him. So then he comes down and breaks his leg.
And then the next scene is like, you see him like in his big mansion with his whore girlfriend there. And the boss is like, the
Yakuza boss.
The Yakuza guy is like, what do you mean you didn't get rid of these guys?
What do you mean? Come on.
What do you mean you didn't get rid of these guys? And he's like sitting there like, well, you know, we're going to do it, but blah, blah, blah. And he's like, No. We gave you this gold till you do the job. If you can't do your job, you're done.
And hey, Bolo, what happens when you can't do your job? I kill them. He jumps over, head crush.
Head crush. And then the whore, all of a sudden, becomes best friends with the guy.
So funny. Because at one point, this was really weird. I had never seen this before. I'm going to back up a little bit. It's a couple scenes. When they kill that guy, the one that kind of went said, "This enough is enough. I'm going to go avenge our dock working situation." She is standing there watching this and like interestingly watching it.
Yeah.
And because it's this guy's girlfriend, and she's obviously a gold digger, very attractive, with this mealy mouth weird guy.
Yeah.
She's standing there smoking a cigarette, watching this guy get murdered, as you're watching TV.
She
doesn't say anything, and you're like, okay, that's kind of creepy. That added a creep factor, number nine, and you're like, weird. Now, fast forward, Bolo kills that guy, and the boss, the mob boss, I shouldn't say Yakuza, that's Japanese, but it's the triad boss or the mob boss, goes, who's second in command? And everyone's like, nah. And she comes strutting out, goes, I'm second in command. He's like, I'll be glad to work with you. Wink, working in horizontally. So now she's taking over. And they're like, this is the end of this. We're done. They beat, now they go down and Bolo.
It's just Bolo and the guy.
Yeah, and he's trucking. He's walking out.
And they're coming in. Bolo's coming in because the people won't leave. They're waiting to see if another ship shows up or they want to start it. And, the guy's hiding out in his room and Bolo's coming in.
Oh, we forgot. A ship does come by and drops off the girlfriend.
Drops off the girl, that's
and
right.
And the girlfriend's like,
looking for him.
I'm looking for this guy. He's short, but he's really strong.
And
they're
really
like,
whiny and moody. And
he's like emo before emo, you know. And he's like, oh, that sounds like Cheng Chao or whatever the guy's name was. I forget what it was. And they're like, oh. And then she sees him and he's like, I don't know who you are. And runs away. And you're like,
do you think
that's going to work, dude? If you were dating somebody for a couple of years and they saw you and you're like, oh, I don't know who
you
are.
That was my twin.
Yeah.
That was my doppelganger.
You're like, you're such a jackass.
Yeah, totally jackass.
And then
it was hard to root for him.
I hated this guy. I was rooting for Bolo. I wanted Bolo to kill everyone and just take over the entire world. That was my hope ending for this, but that wasn't going to happen.
But so he just goes and whines, and then Bolo gets into town, and he likes killing everybody.
Because the spokesperson on his deathbed said, you must tell that guy he's our only hope. And he heard this, and he ran away. So he the reluctant hero thing was way too long. When he heard that, he should have said, you're right, and that's it. But they didn't throw the switch. Instead, he ran away in his little cave. Bolo shows up, murders everyone. I mean,
and the two kids are like, hey, you gotta come back, blah blah blah.
That's when you get woman slapped too. He doesn't slap the girl. Somebody slapped the girl, but not him.
So he doesn't do it. And finally, the girl walks up to him. She gives him that speech. He goes, look, your friends are getting killed. If you're the distraught about it, kill yourself or fight these guys. Yeah. Because the whole town's going to get killed. It's going to be on your head. And you got to do something. And finally, he snaps. Because she even got into a fight with the boss. And he kicked her butt. I thought he was going to kill her.
I know. The girlfriend gets beat up. And you're like, oh, my God.
And she comes back all bloody. And she tells him this. And finally, 80 minutes into this movie.
Of this 83-minute movie, you're like, oh, my God.
He finally wakes up, and then he goes out there, and him and Bolo have their big battle royale whatever.
I laughed so hard. At one point, somebody throws a rock at Bolo. Bolo catches it in midair and whips it at some other guy, when it hits him in the head, it does the karate punch sound.
I belly
laughed. I belly laughed at that because it was so great. And Bolo's kind of... He's beating him up, but he's getting it too.
He's getting it too, yeah.
And he's not... This is something the character is written. He's a combatant. He's not getting angry. He's fighting. He wants to fight this fight. He doesn't like cheating. He thinks he's the best in the world, and he wants to prove it. And it's kind of an interesting thing, because he's not just evil. He's the greatest guy in the world in his head.
Yeah.
He's proving it. He's the guy that's... proving his dojo,
exactly.
And it's neat. And this guy's getting and giving, and then finally he runs away, hides. Bolo comes up over. Because they did the cigarette flick again.
Yeah, yeah. Bolo's fighting him.
Yeah.
And Bolo's knocked his shoulder out. He's only got one arm or whatever. Yeah. So he has to run and hide. And Bolo's looking for him, and Bolo can't find him. Finally, all of a sudden, Bolo looks up and he's up there and he knocks Bolo.
He punches him in his nuts.
He does a nut punch and then he knocks him off a cliff.
Our hero is kind of the he does a lot of...
he fights dirty.
He's a dirty fighter. So then Bolo falls and he kind of comes down and he puts his... He kills Bolo Young.
He basically beats the crap out of him, and then he sees that he's still lying there and he kicks him in the...
And he puts his foot on his neck.
And he breaks his neck. So then all that's left is him and the dirty dude boss or whatever.
And you think the boss is going to be nothing. Because this isn't even that other boss. Yeah. This is some random guy.
Yeah, this is the mob guy.
This is the mob guy. And you're like, okay, but nope. He's super guy. He's better than Bolo Young. And you're like, I don't think he'd be better than Bolo Young. And this is almost where I was sick of it before. And this is where I got even angrier because this boss is just punching him and punching him and punching him. I was like, okay, well, he'd be dead. This guy literally punched our hero like 20,000 times when he's against that little metal thing when they're like fighting. And he just kept kicking him and punching him and kicking him. I was like, well, you'd be dead.
Sure.
Because if you get punched and kicked that many times, I don't care if you punch a wall that many times, it's falling over, you know. But then our hero just...
with one hand, finally kicks him and breaks his legs, I think, and just leaves him lying there. And then they said, like, so what do we do with him? And then one guy goes, well, what do we always do with shit? You know, and I guess they just threw him out. And then the last scene is, like, the girls are with him. Oh, you know, she's happy. And the ships are coming back. And he's, of course, got two bales of
and
rice.
And his girlfriend's the accountant. And they giggle, and that's the end. And he's a hero now.
Yeah, happily ever after.
Too long. They pushed that reluctant hero to a breaking point where you're like, this ruined the movie. Now, rarely...
I mean, it did get you angry, which I guess is like an emotion. It gets you involved in it, but you really were rooting for him to like die at the end. I mean, maybe save everybody, but like take it for the team, because he let a lot of people die, and he could have stopped.
Let a lot of people down, and that's what the thing about the reluctant hero is. It's a very good way to show that our hero has emotions. He's not just one-dimensional. He isn't just a killing machine like Bolo. Otherwise, why would you root for him over Bolo? But that just has to be a small sprinkling in the soup. Like, just a little bit of seasoning. Oh, he's reluctant. That's cool. And then as soon as they beat up those kids, time to turn it on. And then that's great.
But that was too early in the movie. They couldn't have...
But they could have found something. Find a jump-off point. Like when the doc spokesperson dies.
I would
switch it then.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, like, right before, like, right when the guy dies, have the girl go there and, like, go, hey, you know, the two kids or the girl with the two kids go, hey, the dock worker died. And he goes, are you kidding me? This is really my fault that this happened? But no, everybody has to die. And then the girl has to tell him to kill himself before he finally, like, wakes up and, like, she calls him what he is, like, you big pussy or whatever.
I loved Bolo, which is why I picked this. And I liked his performance in it. I thought it was great. Not a lot of talking, not a lot of nothing. Just killing.
Yeah.
And he'd fight people and punch people and throw people around, which is what muscle guys do in these movies, you know.
I mean, it's an okay enough movie. I mean, I watched it. I wouldn't get bored at all. I think it's worth watching. But the reluctant hero was really pushed
to me. That ruined it. Because when this, out of the gate, I'm like, here we go. It's like a Master of the Flying Guillotine. Out of the gate, you know what you're in for, and it doesn't let up. Like, the foot is on the gas pedal that entire movie because it's just fighting and fighting, and that guy wandering around just mercilessly killing everything. Yeah, and you're like, yes! You know, this is great! This is what I want! And this one is just, ugh, you know. It starts really hot with, like, the fights and the training, and you're like, okay, this is good. And just lays an egg, you know? And you're like, bogged down in boring story. Not boring story, but story that doesn't really churn up anything other than why is our hero just standing around, you know?
Yeah.
But so, like you're
again,
saying,
it's worthwhile watching.
It's a good, it's worthwhile watching. It's, if you like kung fu movies, this is a fine kung fu movie, but they did a little misstep here and there, you know?
Yeah, story-wise.
So, yeah, what are you thinking about it? I'm going to say 6.
See, I'll give it a little bit better than that, 6.5. Like I said, I wasn't bored. I get bored on movies easily. Yeah. I wasn't bored. I watched it all the way through, and I was like, but mostly it was because I was so annoyed.
You were hate watching it.
I was hate watching it. I was so annoyed. How long is it going to take for this jerk to freaking wake up and kick some people's butts?
Oh, I know. You know,
I guess it worked in that sense.
Because even in the Bruce Lee one, which I was critical of slightly, I wasn't hating on it, but because of the same thing, but he came around faster and it saved it. He became not the reluctant hero quick enough that we got it, and then he moved on, and then
because in the Chinese Connection, the one Fist of Fury Chinese Connection, whatever you want to call it, he was fighting from the beginning. Right. He wasn't like the reluctant guy or whatever.
Well, he
hadn't seen too many of these.
He couldn't fight. Then he fought.
This is the first, I mean, I haven't watched that many Kung Fu movies. This is the first reluctant guy one that I've seen. And this one, it was pushed to the...
Too far. Yeah. So, you know, usually, like I said, usually the trope is they promise their girlfriend or wife, they promise their mom they're not going to do it anymore. But that is quickly broken because horror ensues, you know.
Yeah.
Some bad guys come in and burn down the restaurant or beat up the mom, and then, well...
Or the teacher.
Now it's on like Donkey Kong.
And once again, you got the crime boss and you got all these bosses. And this isn't set in... Was this set in old school world?
No.
Nobody has a gun. You got the mob with no guns. Again, this is what I like and what I don't like about these movies.
No way, man. Gunless.
Knives. A lot of knives.
And to me, as soon as you pull a knife, that means...
That means you kill or be killed.
That kinda, like that's serious stuff.
There's no gray area there. You pull a knife. You're not gonna pull a knife so you can cut off one of my eyelashes or whatever. You want to punch a hole in.
Yep, that means time to be killed. Oh well, that's it for this week. You got anything else? We good?
No, that's it.
All right, that's it. My name is Matt. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius.
And we'll see you next week with more Kung Fu excitement. Next week, mate.
I think I'm gonna pull a goofy one for next. Well, no, I can't because I didn't bring it. When I do bring the next one, there's gonna be a really goofy one.
All right.
Well, next week is gonna be a regular.
I look forward to the goofiness. We'll see you next week, everyone.
About that.
Sing us out of here, Don. Kung Fu Don Sullivan.
Little mushroom, there was a meadow ready to cry. There was a sparrow, gray little sparrow. There was an eagle, silent and high. And the Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh. And the Lord, he said, I created for you a world of joy from out of the blue. And all that is left to complete the joy, just the laugh of a girl and boy. Yeah, 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 yeah. And there was a garden, beautiful garden, held in the arms of a world without joy. Then there was laughter, wonderful laughter, for he created a girl and a boy. And the Lord said, oh, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, laugh.
Sure is. And you know, I never felt any more like laughing than I do right now.